Welcome to the Table Talk Show with Teresa Farley, presented by Ranch Foods Direct and sponsored by the Olive Tech. Teresa hosts the finest chefs and brings you the best restaurants and places to dine. And now here is the most elegant host in radio, Teresa Farley.
Welcome to KRDO Table Talk on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. I'm Teresa Farney, the food editor at the Gazette, and today we learn about award-winning food trucks, a new foodie magazine, and an Indian food market. So I'm very, very excited to be welcoming Dylan Mosley, and he is the co-owner of Vor Grilled Cheese Gastro Truck. You've got a few things to brag about, including these fabulous tattoos, the colorful tattoos you have. But let's save that for this later, maybe at the end of our segment.
You can have your own local tattoo segment. Well, first of all, thank you, Ms. Farney and KRDO.
Please, Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa, for having me on. Vor Food Truck has had recent good fortune, and I appreciate you giving me the chance to spread the good word. I also need to thank the Colorado Springs Award Program. I know mm-hmm. you're going to get into this.
No, just go right ahead. That's great.
And USA Today for voting me Colorado's Best Grilled Cheese in their 2018 10 Best Program.
That's amazing, isn't it? Think about the number.
Felt obligated to put that out there.
I'm glad you did. But can we back up the truck, so to speak, and explain the name for your truck, Vor?
Vor, it's a pretty old word. Latin means to consume, as in voracious, as in carnivore, herbivore, locavore. Part of the problem with restaurants in the past few decades, there are members of the eating world that have been discluded for a very long time. Vegans, celiacs, anybody that is trying to specifically follow a program, whether it's for their health, whether it's for the improvement of the earth, whether it's out of animal empathy. So it's been really hard the past few decades and probably longer for those people to eat something other than, oh, sure, you can have our side salad, or, oh, yes, we have green beans today. So the goal of Vor Food Truck, one of the goals, is to include those members of the consumers who have been, you know, left out. So as herbivore is top of the pile for me. Vegans, vegetarians, gluten-free, you can have full menu availability. So if it says, you know, for example, if something has bacon on it and you're a vegan, no problem. I've got vegan bacon. I've got vegan ham, vegan pork, whatever you need. I've got a substitution. All you have to do is make your order and tell me exactly how you need it, and I can make it happen.
Well, that's fabulous. And I'm so excited that grilled cheese made the cut as far as, you know, something to focus on.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit. What is your culinary background? What got you into a food truck in the first place?
Well, in 2010, I got out of the military. I served here in Fort Carson for 10th Special Forces for 8 years. I got out and looked around for, you know, to reengage with the rest of the world, the normal world, the non-military world. I took full advantage of some of the veterans' benefits. I maxed out my VA, the GI Bill, that
right,
sort of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And one of the programs, one of the degrees that I got was started out as an associate's in baking and pastry, and then I expanded to a restaurant, to food and beverage management from the Art Institute up in Denver.
Right.
So I got a degree, and then what? Wanted to start a restaurant. Restaurants are very expensive.
They are very expensive.
I'm not sure if you know that.
So, very risky.
A step down in risk, a step down in overhead cost investment is food trucks. Much, much cheaper.
It's a gateway.
It is. Well, it's also an end. It might not just be gateway. I mean, food trucks, there's many different ways to expand in food trucking, but I put the degree and started a business plan for a food truck. And about a year later, I had found a couple of my friends who had various skill sets that I'm lacking, and we decided to get together and we started a truck.
And how did you come up with the idea of only grilled cheese?
Early on, we said we need to have focus. One of the ways that you can fail as any restaurant or food is by having too large of a scope. Focus on one thing and do it well. Do it better than anybody else. That's good advice, as far as I'm concerned. So we focused on grilled cheese. Everybody loves grilled cheese. and there wasn't one anywhere within 500 miles. I know there's a specialty truck in some of the bigger cities in the nation, West and East Coast, but here in Colorado, there isn't anybody that focuses on it.
Have you seen the movie Chef?
I have. That's great. I don't know how they, in like 5 hours, they managed to gut retrofit and start service. They passed code. They got all their investments together. They passed city, county, national health code. They started their own business. I don't know how they did that in 5 hours.
One word, movie.
Okay.
Movie.
Well, no. That's real. I saw it. I saw it. It happened. I just don't know how.
Yeah.
It took me about 4 months.
But at the end, they show you the Korean food truck fellow in Los Angeles does a little outtake and teaches the chef and the son how to make a beautiful grilled cheese sandwich. Did you see that?
Sure, I saw that. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Well, that to me was like, oh, all the drama and the care with being sure everything is just so-so. Now, just out of curiosity, how long have you had the food truck now?
Going on 4 years.
4 years.
In March, it'll be 4 years.
Just take a stab at how many pounds of cheese do you think you've gone through?
Oh, man.
Just a stab.
On a busy week, probably 50, 60 pounds of cheese. On a slow week, probably a quarter of that. So times 52 times 4. I don't know what the average, maybe 40 pounds a week times 52 times 4, whatever that is.
Okay, my husband is probably at home figuring that out because he measures everything. That's
tons,
a ton.
Tons.
Tons
of cheese.
Exactly, tons. So tell us about...
Tons of cheese and vegan cheese. There's some really good, interesting vegan cheese. That's always been a challenge.
Does
vegan
it melt?
Cheese is nasty. Yes. cow, in my opinion, is the best. That's a good secret.
Oh,
but everybody...
Okay, a vegan cheese called cow?
Cow, it's C-H-A-O.
Okay.
Oh, I wish I had the manufacturer on my mind. But if you Google cow, C-H-A-O cheese, it'll pop up. You can buy it at Walmart. $6 for 8 slices.
Well, it doesn't have any actual food ingredients in it, does it?
Well, of course. It's a tasty cheese. It's very good. It tastes better than Velveeta does.
But in order to be called cheese, doesn't it have to have a dairy component?
No. It has the word cheese on it. It's cheese.
It's cow.
Okay. Yeah, it's
cow.
Cheese.
I guess cow relates to milk.
No, you don't have to be a cheese Puritan to embrace what the world has to offer nowadays.
Let me tell you, Dylan, you have got an amazing, amazing lineup of sandwiches. And how do people find you so that they can try some of these out?
This year, I've been primarily focusing on private catered events, so I've been a little off the radar on as far as my media goes. But if you follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter, check out Facebook, go to the website, www.vortruck.com. I try to post where I'm at on time, so you might have a chance to get me. I just posted my Saturday. I'll be at Gold Camp Brewing.
All right.
Southern part of town.
Great.
From 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Okay. Dylan, thank you so much for coming in. I'm dying to come and try a couple of your grilled cheese sandwiches. Sounds good.
I'll keep an eye out for you.
Thanks for coming. You'll have to come back and tell us all about your sleeves.
Thank you very much. We'll do.
Okay. Well, we're coming up on a break, but stay tuned. There's more appetizing talk to come. Welcome back to the second course of KRDO Table Talk presented by Ranch Foods Direct. And I'm so excited to have Mundy Ross back with us. It's been a while, hasn't it, Mundy?
It has been a while, yes.
I just was mentioning before we got started, I don't know how you do it all. You have a hat for every occasion, I think, and every occupation, every interest you've got.
Sure, I do. Yes,
Plus,
I do.
Plus, you're the mom of a very adorable little boy.
Thank you. Thank you.
How old is he now?
He just turned 4, September 21st.
See, as I was driving over here, I was thinking, I think he might be 3.
Yes,
yeah,
4.
Okay.
He's so fun.
I bet.
Yeah.
So let's start off by saying you're the owner of Colorado Collective.
Yes.
And you're the assistant publisher of Edible Pikes Peak Region, which is pretty exciting. So let's focus on that a little bit first and fill people in if they are not familiar with the Edible family.
Yes. There are close to 90 titles across the U.S. and Canada. Edible is a James Beard awarded publication, and we are bringing it to our region. My territory is Parker all the way down to Pueblo, and then we will be celebrating Buena Vista and Salida as well. So it is just all-encompassing food, beverage, sustainable living, anywhere from grain to product. So we want to celebrate the farmers. We want to celebrate the ranchers, the distillers, the coffee roasters, the chefs, the home chefs, the urban homesteaders. We're going to cover it all.
Well, you had something. Now, first of all, we did have an edible Pikes Peak Ridge.
Edible Front Range.
Front Range.
Yes.
Which is a little different. That was about maybe 3 years ago?
I think it was 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, time flies. It's just like I thought your son was much younger. What happened to that?
It was run by a chef out of Boulder, and her territory was, you know, Fort Collins all the way down to Colorado Springs, and that is a really large territory to cover. And so she sold the title to a gentleman named Michael, who is technically the publisher. He's my boss, and he broke up the territory. So now there's a chef that owns Edible Denver, Fort Collins, Boulder. And then he contacted me actually last November. At the time, I was closing a store front and dealing with illness in the family, and so I wasn't really ready to touch edible until the spring. But when he approached me, I said absolutely I'd be interested in running edible in our territory. So
whenever you first started your umbrella, the Colorado Collective, you had a publication there also.
Correct. It was biannual,
and is it called Coco?
Well, COCO is just our little acronym. It's just our little fun.
That means Colorado Collective.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you bet that it was very similar. I think it kind of a mirrored image. Is that safe to say?
Yeah. That's ultimately why I was approached to do Edible, is because with Colorado Collective, we produce really beautiful, thoughtful publications. And I think that with Edible, if you're familiar with Edible, it's really beautiful photography, really thoughtful writing, recipes, hands-on guides. And so it just seemed to be like the right fit.
Now, you are the assistant publisher who in Michael
owns Edible Finger Lakes out of upstate New York. He technically owns the title, but I'm working to own it myself.
Is that the man that was at the Fast Food Nations that spoke?
He was not there. No.
Okay. Who was that other gentleman?
Because
you were at that meeting.
Yes, that was Edible Milwaukee.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
So that's how I got that
connection.
All right.
Yep.
Great. So this is very, very exciting. I'm so happy that it's come back. I every time I think of the Edible magazine and I think about slow food, I have to think about our dear beloved friend, Jerry Bridgman, who was very instrumental in getting, first of all, the slow food going here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really, really interested in the Edible magazine being part of all of the community thing.
Yes.
And to talk about all the stuff that's going on here and all over Colorado.
Yes.
So the first Edible is going to be published in December.
Yes.
And it's
five times. That floater issue will probably come out sometime in the summer. We're thinking more of a specific issue, maybe around drinks, because we have just such a strong beverage community, and so I think that floater issue will be covering beverage.
And what are some of the other topics that are going to be in the inaugural issue?
Sure. We have a column. We partnered with Rocky Mountain Food Report, Dionne Roberts. She'll always have a column. We have Back of House, which covers chefs. We have Meat or Maker, which marries the Colorado Collective in the sense that we want to cover artisans, whether they're potters or woodworkers who love designing and building farm tables, anything related to food and beverage in the artisan space of hands-on makery. There's In the Field, which covers our farmers. We have Liquid Assets that covers beverage. So we have about five or six solid columns. In the spring, we're going to be launching In the Kitchen, which is our way of getting into the homes of, like, maybe yourself or Mayor Southers or...
Oh, wait, I have to go home and clean.
Yes.
We want to come into my home.
We want to go into the home of our community. And
I think I need to start right now.
Yeah, we want to get in the home of people in our community and celebrate them and why they love cooking and maybe get some family recipes from them. There's another section we're going to be doing where we're just going to cover sustainable living, minimalist living, so we can capture, because I think that's part of that, you know, the relationship with food is sustainable living as well.
Right, that's right. Well, it's so exciting and good for you. They could not have picked a better person. You are quite the photographer.
Also, well, I have a team. I can put together a really beautiful magazine, but I have an incredible team that helps me.
Well, I know when you did your other, the Colorado Collective magazine, the photography was gorgeous.
Thank you.
Speaking of which, let's kind of go down the memory lane a little bit. The first time I met you was at a farmer's market, and you were selling fabulous butter cookies.
Yes.
Buttery, sugary cookies.
Yes.
And what happened to that little venture?
Yeah, so it was Salt and Butter. That's kind of where my story begins. Yep, Salt and Butter Co. And I was baking crazy flavored cookies in the farmer's market. I actually wanted to do a food truck, but at the time, the food truck scene, six, 7 years ago, was like non-existent. And I was really scared to launch a food truck six, 7 years ago. So I kept it safe in the farmer's markets. And through that experience of meeting different artisans and farmers, Colorado Collective was birthed. But what's so fun about, you know, going back to the edible is I remember picking up edible when I was a vendor at the farmer's market every Saturday and reading it. And it is one of the reasons why I launched Coco. It's like, man, there's this beautiful publication highlighting all these really talented people in the food and beverage industry. And so it's fun to kind of come full circle with Coco and with edible. But yeah, I started as a cookie baker.
And then I've seen something on your website about Give a Scrap.
Oh, Who Gives a Scrap? Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we did, I used to have a storefront. It was called Coco Crafted, and it was a branch off of Colorado Collective in which we wanted to bring makers, artisans who have a craft to share into a space to teach that skill. And so we had that storefront. When my father was diagnosed with ALS, I decided to let the storefront go. But Who Gives a Scrap has come alongside Coco Crafted and really wanted to bring it back. So we are inside their space. We have a classroom inside their new space at 520 West Colorado Ave.
I saw that the other
day.
Yes.
Yeah. It's huge. And so it's fun. We're bringing Coco back and teaching, you know, anything from macrame to, I think there's, I saw a couple of workshops around designing these really cool marbled coasters, and there's paper crafts. I mean, we're kind of doing it all. Jewelry, we're doing it all.
That sounds great. Well, I can hardly wait to get in there. And then you've got some sort of a girls' network support group of some sort. I can't remember the name of it.
Girl Crush Social Club. Yeah.
Where do you wake up at night with these ideas of names?
Well, Girl Crush was birthed out of a desire for peer-to-peer mentorship. I think sometimes as small business owners, it can be quite lonely. And to not have somebody or to have somebody that you can bounce ideas off, you can vent, you can celebrate one another. And so Girl Crush was birthed out of that desire of just wanting to find my tribe of like-minded women who could come alongside me and support. And so we were once a month, now we meet quarterly, and we always have some sort of scheduled programming, whether it's, you know, social media 101 or finance 101.
I need that. Please tell me right? When you do that one. Yes.
The last one we did was on food. So we had a panelist of chefs and writers and different people in the food industry that just kind of talk about what it's like to launch a food business. And I think there was great little nuggets for anybody who attended that's not just interested in launching a food business. I think there's really applicable things in just launching small business in general.
Well, we're coming down to about 2 minutes left, but before we go, I want to segue into your husband's business just slightly and let people know where they can get the edible Pikes Peak Region magazine when it comes out in December.
Sure. Yep. So edible, when it launches, we are currently working on trying to land advertisers, and we are working on distribution. So right now, Vitamin Cottage, Whole Foods, there's definitely some hotels we're talking to. You can go to ediblepikespeak.com, and we will list out everybody so far that will be interested in carrying. The great thing about edible that's very different from Colorado Collective is that it's a free publication, so it's a lot more accessible, where Coco was, you know, there was a charge to it. It was very small batch. This one is going to be larger distribution, free.
Okay. Speaking of small batch, let's talk about your husband's. It, I always get this backwards.
Axe and the Oak. Okay. Axe and the Oak.
Whiskey. Yeah.
Yes.
And he's been very successful. Ross is quite the distiller.
Yep. Casey, it's been
Oh, I'm sorry, Casey.
No, it's okay. Yeah, they just took gold at Whiskeys of the World in Texas, and we just took gold for our cast strength at the Breckenridge Still on the Hill. I claim it as if it's my own, but I can't help it.
But I'm sure so proud.
I'm a proud wife.
I'm sure you have to do a lot of quality control.
I do. There's oftentimes we sit down and we bounce ideas, and he'll talk to me about different things happening, and that means a lot that he's interested in hearing what I have to say.
Well, of course. And after all, I mean, you are quite the entrepreneur. I mentioned you're wearing so many hats, and it's so exciting that, you know, there's somebody like you in the community stirring things up and getting out there and bringing notice to people that might not otherwise be known.
I hope so. It's a lot of work, but...
I know it is. And as I say, I don't know how you get it all done, but you are a remarkable woman.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in today, taking time. And I know you need to dash along and get your little boy. So thank you again, Mundy. And I'm so excited for your magazine. I say your magazine, but you definitely will have a lot to do with that.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for coming in. Well, we have to take a break, but we're going to be back with more tasty news. And welcome back to the third course of KRDO Table Talk, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. And I'm super duper excited to have Deanna Johnson. And she is the owner of Black Forest Choo Choo Gastro Truck.
Yes.
And joining her is one of her support team and backup line cook.
She's my right hand girl.
Right hand, more than the backup.
Oh, okay. Yes. I couldn't do it without her. That is for sure.
Sarah Wynn is with us. And speaking of, let's just play on that word Wynn, because you guys were the winners of a very big Food Network show. Deanna, tell us a little bit about that. Excitement.
So, yes, we were very excited and honored to be chosen to be the pilot episode, or part of the pilot episode, of Food Truck Fan Fight, which aired last week on the Food Network. And we were chosen as one of five trucks. We're the only truck out of the Springs to compete. So we had to go up against the Denver trucks, Fort Collins, Boulder, Parker trucks, and represent, which we did. And we were chosen as one of the two finalists. And ultimately, we won the championship.
Which is kind of a fun trophy. And where do you have it displayed? Is it on your truck?
So not yet, but it will be. They're actually getting it engraved. So we keep telling them we'll come pick it up whenever it's ready. So they were getting it engraved with the official show name because they had a different working title while they were filming. So it did change up a little bit.
So Sarah, you are one of an all-female cooking team, right?
Yes. And it has been very interesting finding girls that flow and fit with the energy, because we're all, you know, not about drama, working, serving
whoa,
food
whoa,
is the
whoa,
fun
whoa.
Part. So
that doesn't happen. A group of women?
No, a group of women? No way. No, we have an awesome
no drama?
Crew.
Come on.
It's so much fun. We have an awesome crew. You know, my best friends work on the truck. Like, this is my family. So it's really fun to, you know, be able to look forward to work. I don't think there's ever been a shift on the food truck where I've regretted, you know, like going, being like, oh, I don't want to be here. It's just so fun. You know, the energy that we bring and just...
So what were you thinking whenever they got, when you guys got picked to compete down in Denver or up in Denver, whichever? I think actually you go down from here, but anyway.
Well, it was really, I don't know, we were just so excited. And the thing about Deanna is that I've noticed ever since, you know, knowing her, if she says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. She is the type of woman that she puts her mind to something and get out of her way.
It wasn't just visionary happening. You are going to make
it
happen.
Yeah.
We're going to be on TV.
Yeah.
And as I said, I don't know when or what, but just wait.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. And I told
enough.
Them when we applied, because I'm like, it's going to take a long time. Don't get our hopes up, because there's hundreds of submissions And yeah, we have to go through the cut process and, you know, interviews and videos and pictures. And
okay, so all this started in, well, you actually did the thing in January, but when did they tap you, or did you knew that you were going to be
part? Last fall. Okay. We actually saw a call and was like, hey, why not? We didn't even know it was for the Food Network, but I was like, oh, let's go. Very competitive. So it's like, hey, let's apply. And it happened very fast.
And so you went to Denver, and there's the Stanley Marketplace, correct, which is a very cool little.
It was awesome. I've never been there, yeah.
We need one here.
Court.
Yes. Kind of like, yeah. Boutiques. Food, all local business, pretty much.
Yeah.
There's like a Denver biscuit company there. Everything. It was like all local
really
businesses.
Cool spice markets, like Indian spices, an Italian super charcuterie cool with cheeses and
well, here,
all that.
The thing that I was, whenever you told me this happened in January at Stanley Market, I was like, gosh, that's going to be kind of bad cold and out the former airport. And we'd be on the runway or whatever. But no, here, when I finally got to see the segment, all the trucks drove into a hangar.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. It was all heated, everything.
Yes.
And about how many people showed up to?
There was a couple hundred that came for the first round, which was on taste. So everybody brought their signature dish for the first round.
And for you.
It was our Korean bulgogi steak tacos. So we brought that aboard and, competed and was lucky enough to be chosen in the top two on taste. And then the second round was a secret ingredient, which being in Colorado was beer. And we knew we were going to the St. Patty's Day parade. So both the trucks went with corned beef. I mean,
but
bangers and mash or corned beef
much
or something
better.
Irish.
But it was really cute watching. And you had described this to me before the preview of the actual screening, that you guys kind of got in a little bit of a bidding war. Tell us how that went down.
So, yeah, we had a lot of fun with it. Like, we knew J Street's thing was Brussels sprouts, so we were going to buy up all the Brussels sprouts, which we didn't, but we just, told them we were going to. So, but we, two different styles of food, so it was kind of fun to see what you came up with using the same ingredients. So it was actually really a fun process. But, yeah, you had to come up on the fly. We were at Whole Foods.
But now you did a
time crunch.
You did a taco with that, too,
we did,
right? Yeah.
So,
okay, so tell us, how did you do that?
We all brainstormed, the four of us. And, we knew with the beer we were going to braise, of course, corned beef. Mm-hmm. So that was the no-brainer. But what are we going to put with it? We're known for our slaws and our sauces, which we always make homemade on the truck. So we knew we needed that crunch on the bottom because we're kind of a layer of flavor truck. We like big, bold flavors. Mm-hmm. And, came up with our O'Hagan sauce after Sarah's Irish grandma.
O'Hagan.
So, yes, Grandma O'Hagan.
Crazy
and
Grandma
what was in it? Horseradish?
So, no. Let's see. There was a little ketchup. It's kind of, what do we call our chew sauce?
Our chew sauce. So we like to say it's kind of like Thousand Islands, more attractive older sister.
Oh.
It's like in the family, but it's better.
It has some rice wine vinegar, a little sriracha, so a little secret some garlic, some secret spices. So it's kicked up a bit, but it's good on everything.
So you started off, you knew that they were going to sell their, did they do a taco also?
No,
like a
they, did
the, pie.
They did kind of like a bowl, so it kind of had potatoes and their Brussels sprouts and corned beef.
And they marked theirs at $10.
Mm-hmm, they did.
And you thought that was a little pricey for a taco.
Yes.
You thought that'd be a hard sale.
Yes, even eight. We were pushing a taco.
Yeah. And you figured that it would be hard to come down from that. So you started yours.
We started ours at $8, knowing that we could drop the price, but we couldn't go from $5 to $8 if we felt like we needed to make up the money, which we did the last hour. We're like, all right, we're going for $5. We're going for volume now.
Right.
And obviously.
And that was the first one was on people's choice and taste,
correct,
as you said.
And the second round was on sales.
Right. And so everyone had their squares that you were, so they could tally up and know how many dishes each of you sold. And so, woohoo, you won.
Yeah, we won by $250.
Yeah, we won with all the cute girls on the truck and a megaphone.
Yes.
That's really what did it.
Yeah, the girls went out into the crowd, brought them back, and got the crowd excited. We were smart and bought a megaphone before we left so we could, broadcast. There was, 300,000 people at the parade, and you're competing with music and bands and floats.
Good idea.
So,
smart idea. That's very good. So I was very curious, how did you come up with the idea of choo-choo?
Yes, so we bought the truck.
Because it's a very cute play on words.
It is. So when we bought our truck, it was wrapped like a train, like kind of an old western-y type train.
Uh-huh.
It was not lettered. So we knew we were going to run with the train theme because a new wrap, expensive. And it's a beautiful wrap. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to kind of localize it to the Springs, and I do live in the Black Forest. So we became the Black Forest Choo-choo, or BFCC. And choo-choo, of course, being the play on words with the, and a foodie way.
Yeah. So that was really great. Now, you give us a little bit of background on how you got involved with a food truck. Like, it was such an interesting story with Dylan.
Yes.
So what's your story?
Kind of a similar story. Had been in the restaurant business. My family owned restaurants growing up. Had been in the food industry my whole life in different aspects, and was doing some private chef work. Food truck idea popped up. Like I said, a lot cheaper than a brick and mortar, although we are hoping to go in that direction. In the next year or so, we'll see what happens.
Will you keep the choo-choo idea still?
We already have the name. It'll be just Chew, C-H-E-W,
okay.
If we went that way. So we just drop it down to a little shorter version. But it's a great way to test your concept and gain followers and all those kinds of things to see what works and what doesn't work in a lot cheaper way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of people like Pig Latin, Andreas,
yes.
Valdez has done similar. He's got a very small restaurant. He should have
so good.
He should have gone bigger. But he's kept his truck business, too. So.
Yes. Yeah, they just started rolling again. Mm-hmm. So I actually passed him on the way in today.
No kidding.
So, yes.
Did you drive your truck over here today? Oh, okay. I wanted to see it, and I'm dying to see Dylan's truck, too, so that's amazing.
I love them because they're all different.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And a lot of fun, a lot of energy. And
there is. We've always got music blaring. We're always dancing. And we're known for our calendars. We're very well known.
What are your calendars?
We have, it's like, you know how men's garages, they have like Sports Illustrated. We have our like firefighters, cowboys.
Oh, okay.
And people, we've gotten a lot of money offers, actually, to buy them from us. But
so they're old calendars that are not necessarily.
So, yeah, they're just, you know, hot shirtless guys, just like the guys have the pin-up bikini girls. We have the boys.
Yeah, it's an all-girl truck.
It's an all-girl truck. So I said, well, when you buy your truck, you can. we are well known for them. Everybody wants to see who's the man of the month.
And we do a big reveal.
So who is that now in November?
So, well, we have,
ooh,
well,
we haven't revealed it yet.
Yes, I know. Yeah, we have to flip the calendar. So things to do.
Yeah, okay.
Coming up on November. Well, tomorrow we get to flip
first
it.
First things first.
Yes.
Well, that'll be fun. Now, tell us a little bit about your menu also, because it's not just tacos. That's one of your specialties.
Yes, we're known for our tacos, and we have flavors. We do international street food, so we have flavors from, you know, Hawaii and Greece and Asia, Ireland with our Irish tacos. Uh-huh. And our menu changes every Monday, so it's not the same thing week after week. But we are known for our burgers. We do Asian noodle bowls, different sandwiches, you know, from Spain or just whatever we come up with on the fly. So we're going to add some soups here, probably coming up next week. So you never know what you're going to get when you come to the Choo Choo.
Yeah, well, I was noticing on your website, you have it kind of set up to know where you're at, like a schedule for a train
like
schedule.
Like a train station, yes.
How do you read that? I mean, tell me. I couldn't understand.
So, yeah, it's just the date and our location. Facebook is our more up-to-date. We try to get to the website, but sometimes being business owners, we get too busy. But every Monday, we post our schedule on our Facebook page, which is at BF Choo Choo, so C-H-E-W-C-H-E-W. And so that's the easiest way to find us and the most up-to-date.
Okay. And so now you live in the Black Forest, and you have horses.
I do, and a dog ranch.
A
dog ranch, yes.
And what is that?
I have a kennel-free dog ranch. I board and do daycare with large dogs.
Really? How interesting.
Over 5 acres. Yeah, so I have multiple businesses.
Well, you have a ton of energy. I can see how you keep everything together. You
sometimes
stay busy.
And I have a great crew. So, like, all my girls on the
so
truck.
So, you have five, yourself and five people?
I have dogs. I have 6 dogs, 3 equines, 4 cats, and who knows what else.
Mini donkey.
But how many girls on your
workers? I'm sorry. I thought you meant animals.
I'm sorry.
It depends on the event. So, you know, for it. The small business food truck cook-off, you know, we can run up to 5 or 6 just for speed. Of course, the competition, we had a specific number. Round one, there was just Sarah and myself. And then round two, we had 4. All the trucks, or both trucks had 4 people on it.
Well, it sounds exciting and fun.
It is.
I'm so happy to get to meet you in person because we were back and forth. I was trying to do a daily and get all the information. I was like, oh, please answer,
last minute.
I know. Well, fortunately, we were able to get it in and the win.
And appreciate it, yes.
So that was great. So if you're interested in keeping track of this fabulous all-women-operated eatery, go to bfchewchew.com. That's bfchewchew.com. And you'll find out where you can go and sample some of those signature tacos or other things. We are coming up on a short break, but there's still one more scrumptious segment.
so eat it.
Welcome back to KRDO News Radio. And for now, we have the last course, and I'm going to call it dessert because there's a very special Indian holiday coming up called Diwali. And I've just met Fahad Afif, and he's the owner of Adams International Market. It's located at 1822 Dominion Way, and it was kind of late summer. I popped in. I saw Adams International Market tucked in a little shopping center's corner, and I went in there, and lo and behold, he is stocking his shelves with all sorts of beautiful Indian foods, including a bunch of special things for Diwali. Fahid, first of all, you came here from Houston.
From San Antonio, Texas.
How did I think it was Houston?
It was Texas, so.
The reason you came here is because your son suffers from some illness.
I got a medical disorder, and we moved here specifically for the cannabis. I don't know, I should be talking more about it, but we moved specifically for that because he's got a severe medical disorder that's a progressive degenerative disorder that does not have a known cure or a treatment available for the symptom that he's got. So we moved here about 5 years ago, and after we moved, his health took a drastic turn where he was doing much, much better than doing previously back in Texas. So that's what motivated us to like kind of get back on our feet again and open up our business.
So did you have a market in San Antonio?
I was in a similar market, but it was just a traditional mom-and-pop convenience store we used to run before.
Was it Middle Eastern or an Asian
food? It was geared towards our traditional crowd here.
Okay.
So it was not an ethnic store. However, when I stayed with my son, we did a lot of cooking. We did a lot of things that, you know, that we had a lot of time on our hands. Mm-hmm. So we did that. And when we moved here, after my son felt better, we kind of contemplated on, like, you know, we want to get back on our feet and open up a business. And what I've noticed was that there was a lack of, or for better words, like, you know, the Indian markets were very few here. There's a couple here in town. They seem to do well, but it was not wholesome where people can go in one shop and try to find all the spices and ingredients they need in one place. So we decided, like, and if we can provide that kind of a market here to the crowd, that might probably make it better for everyone here in town.
Yeah, well, you've done a beautiful job. And by the way, I'd like to mention that it's called Adams International Market, and it's actually named for your son, whose name is Adam.
Yes, that's my youngest boy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So whenever you go into the market, you've rearranged things a little bit because of Diwali. You've got that moved to the front.
Yes.
More, but originally when I came in, there was a big produce area.
Yes.
And you turn that over once a week.
We get fresh vegetables delivered once a week. It's mostly geared towards the ethnic grocery side, where most of the vegetables that we carry are not carried in the traditional big box stores. So we, for example, curry leaves and chili peppers, they're like always required in an Indian kitchen where a lot of people are looking for that spice and it's hard to find. So we normally have a fresh stock of that almost every time.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we also get lots of vegetables that are delivered that are geared towards the ethnic side. For example, the mini eggplants or the bitter melons.
I love those little eggplants, yeah, and the bitter melon.
Mm-hmm. Right, and there's some Chinese okra, and then the okra that we normally use on the Indian side is called the bindi, which is kind of a different set of okra that's supposed to be more tender.
Is it a little smaller okra than what we get?
Yes, it's a little different. It's more slim, and I suppose it's more tender. Seeds are a little less.
I grew up in the South. I grew up in Texas, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And so fried okra is one of my all-time favorite things, and I love okra and tomatoes. And I think that in the Asian Indian, some of those recipes combine those.
Almost,
ingredients. So and speaking of some of the things you've got, you can't even begin to imagine the quantity of spices. Your cuisine is heavy spices.
We have been adding pretty much every week when we get our shipments. We've been adding consistently for the past 5 months that we've opened. I would say in terms of spices and all the other required necessities that you would need for the cooking, we've added, if not hundreds, possibly thousands of different items in the store.
One of the favorite things, I think, whenever I go to an Indian home is the fact that every cook has their spice box.
Yes.
And you sell those.
We do sell those. They have several sections and portions where you can put in your chili pepper, your turmeric powder, your cumin powder, cumin seeds, lots of different spices that you can kind of pack it in one little box that's got little containers in there.
Yeah, they're adorable, and it smells fabulous. It's a kind of a round, looks like a cake tin, maybe right. That you might get a fruit cake in. And it has a, mine it, at least,
it's got
has
like a
clear,
little see-through glass,
a see-through
top,
thing,
yeah.
And you have these beautiful colors of spices around,
yes.
And then a little tiny, very delicate little spoon that
yes.
You can dip portion things out with, and it's so much fun. And so many of the Indian spices have great medicinal properties.
They do. As far as like a lot of people are familiar with for example, turmeric, it's got so many medicinal properties in there that a lot of people are familiar with that. Apart from that, we have lots and lots more spices as far as cumin seeds, cumin powder.
Ginger, garlic. Yeah, all of those things are great.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, one of the big trends recently is golden milk. Are you familiar with that?
The golden...
Golden... Am I saying that right, Dylan? Golden milk? And it basically, it's warm milk that has turmeric in it.
Turmeric in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
So, and it's good for arthritis or stiff
yes.
joints, you know, like me.
It's got a lot of medicinal values. The turmeric powder, I can't speak enough of. Let's say if you got like minor scrapes, if you just apply that turmeric right on the actual
really?
Wound itself, like it'll heal so much faster. It kind of contains bleeding and stuff too, but we're more on the kitchen side, so we'll talk more about food.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does have like so many special, properties to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so you can also get rice, and you have a big freezer section
yes.
that has some prepared Indian food.
Yes.
Because I think there's this mystique that some of these, well, first of all, often when you look at the recipe, there's a 20
yes.
ingredients.
Yes.
And you think, oh my gosh, how do I start? Well, first thing you do is buy yourself a spice box and get it filled up with your favorite spices. And then that helps solve
right.
many, many problems.
It does.
But you have many of these dishes, some of the classic things, samosas and that sort of thing.
We have samosas. We have curries. You can do either or. For people in a quick rush, they can come in and go to our refrigerated section, and we've got everything that's prepared. Could be ready in minutes if you pop in the oven or a microwave if you have access to. Apart from that, like if you were to want to cook something, for example, I know a lot of people are familiar with tandoori chicken. I mean, you can prepare the whole meal. Prep time probably would take about 15 minutes if you have all the ingredients gathered up together, and do another 15 minutes to barbecue that. You would have, if not better than restaurant quality food, like, you know, cooked, prepared at your place for a much more reasonable value than,
yeah.
you know.
Well, the bread selection.
Yes.
Indian breads. You have got a bunch of those. Basically, yep. they're in the freezer area.
Yes.
And so when I bring them home, do I just put them in the microwave, wrap them in paper towel?
Depends on if you would like. You can actually, like, if we normally, when we take our naans, if it's only, let's say, the two of us eating, we'd just throw those in the toaster oven. But if we have a little bigger crowd, we'll just warm up and we'll just preheat the oven and just. Pop
so
those in there.
So they'll get crispy
yeah.
a little bit.
Yes.
More texture. And rice. Oh, my heavenly
rice.
Days. You've got gigantic
lots and lots
bags
of rice. Bags.
Of
yes,
rice.
Ma'am.
And back in the area where you have the rice, you're thinking of maybe putting in a little cafe.
We
eventually.
Do have future plans where we want to have a to-go type of restaurant opened up, hopefully in the near future soon. That way, where you come in, you'll be able to kind of look at the food that's already prepared, just point them and box them and take them to go. So it'll take a few minutes just to order and, like, you know, pick up your food.
And I know that there's a lot of Hindu, maybe some Muslims too, that are looking for challah.
The halal food, we do have a halal butcher shop in our store. The halal term comes, it's equivalent to kind of like a kosher term where a lot of people are familiar with, where the animal is slaughtered. But we do have the halal butcher shop in the back where we offer meats that are cut fresh. So we kind of like focused more on the lamb and goat that we usually sell. We get our fresh shipments on Fridays, and we kind of cut it right on premises so people can...
It's beautiful, by the way. It just looks...
It comes out great. Yeah. I mean, you know, all the meats that are sourced in our store are local Colorado meats, so they get butchered here. And they're sold fresh. So,
well, Fahad, I'm so happy that you have joined us from San Antonio in these past 5 years, and finally you've gotten your store open. It's Adams International Market. They're at 1822 Dominion Ray, and you can find them online at adams-international-market.business.site. And check on their hours and drop in and say hello to Fahad. He'd be happy to see you. Be sure and check out the beets. He's got the best beets in the world that are pre-cooked and peeled and ready to go. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to KRDO Table Talk on 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. If you missed some part of the show, visit KRDO.com to find podcasts. I hope you enjoyed the show. Next Saturday, you're going to hear about a pizza place, a new saloon, a second location for a brewery, and Beaujolais Nouveau. Happy eating, everybody. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Table Talk Show with Teresa Farney, presented by Ranch Foods Direct and sponsored by The Olive Tap. Join Teresa and her guests Saturday afternoons at 1. Listen live at KRDO.com and on demand at KRDO.com. Select the radio tab and click on podcasts.